Welcome back to the Who Cares podcast. I believe this is episode 5, and as we are going to be airing this on 14th February 2022, today's topic was going to be love, the importance of love, importance of the continuation of love and having that love in your life, whether as a friendship or romantic relationship, and how that helps us deal with day-to-day things. In terms of kind of the social care system and people who need that bit of extra help in their life, what is the importance of love and continued love in a person's life?
Well, it instantly offers some form of comfort and confidence. If you've got somebody you can share ideas with, fears with, hopes with, it helps a great deal. If you haven't got somebody you can even have an easy conversation with, a ready conversation with, it makes everything instantly that more a challenge to overcome, to decide on something, to tackle something. And it's really important that in social care, that any other relationships that an individual has are promoted and protected. And often that sort of falls by the wayside. If you're thinking of a person holistically, so everything about them, it naturally draws in anybody that's important to them into that assessment and therefore into a care package. But those agencies or other healthcare professionals that rush those processes or focus purely on like a clinical need fail to assess the larger picture, which would actually have a dramatic effect on the smaller point they're focusing on.
But only for the last 2 years, all the visiting times, it just hasn't been taken into account.
Absolutely horrendous.
Care home visiting times, hospital visiting times, or even being allowed to visit, let alone the times.
It's like literally sort of borderline torturous. That's what happens in horrifically stressful times. You're talking like wartime restriction on some levels. It's insane. People have been dying on their own. And not elderly people who have lived full lives to the 90s and quite happy where they are and they've achieved. You know, young families, young people. It's been absolutely disgusting. And it's the impact on everybody in that process, because it impacts everybody if there is love. Any form of love, it's a huge thing, it's a huge connection. It's an immense emotion, and for some reason, the past 2 years it's just been ignored. There's been no empathy, no anything, and that's just so poisonous. And I think it's very important not to dwell on how bad it's been, because it's absolutely infuriating from my professional perspective, because obviously the company we work at, we do things very holistically. So it's something that is just, I can't even think of a comparison, but really, really frustrating. But it's focusing on what can be done about people's lives in general, ignoring the whole COVID focus, because that's just been a total fucking shit show, hasn't it? If we're blunt, how that's been dealt with. But it's about what happens to people living on their own at home now, moving forwards, and what has happened and what should happen. And the whole point of this is to recognise love and try and seek it out. And it doesn't have to be a marriage. It could be a sister, a neighbour, a good friend, a pet. It could be anything. Whatever's important to that person, whatever they, or whoever they have that connection with, that's your pinpoint for love, and that's where it should be. A different channel of focus and attention should definitely be given when you're providing care for somebody.
But there's always the argument that no matter how hard you try, there's still loneliness creeps in, and there's been a few cases where people want to go into a home because they just can't deal with being on their own.
Yeah, and then that's a healthy choice, and it's the right choice, and it's the right time, and then it should simply be done. Bearing in mind you've done the right research about which home to go into. But generally, it's probably my personal opinion, smidged in with professionals, probably the only from the hip reason to go into a care facility, companionship. Because as we've touched on before, it's that vicious circle. If somebody's mood is really dramatically affected, then it has a knock-on effect on everything else, every other aspect of the well-being.
Yeah.
So the mood has to be prioritised, otherwise you can't shift anything else.
If you get someone who's on their own, family live far away, they're not as mobile as they used to be, or they live in an area where there aren't many social clubs or social opportunities other than nipping to the shop for a loaf of bread, which you can't do 17 times a day, or however many, three or four, struggle to even do it three or four times a day, either physically or finding a reason to go in.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not really companionship either.
No.
So you can kind of understand why people do want to go and live in a retirement village or a retirement home. Or...
Yeah, it's stimulation. It's the reassurance for the people. Like I say, if you were, you're married, if you're faced with a decision, let's say, well, I don't know, it could be something the GP said to you. You have this option or you have this option. Think about it and let us know. It doesn't have to be an urgent decision. It hasn't got to be something dramatic or grave that they're presenting to you. You would still want to discuss that with your wife, would you not?
Yes.
So as we progress through life, individuals would still want to do that same process. And if they no longer have their wife or they no longer have their friend or whatever... then those situations become really, really difficult, and then it's our job and anyone else in the social care system to try and somehow create those relationships or that stability for an individual through different ways and means. So there is, like you say, social groups, there's befriending services, there's just facilitating the individual to communicate with family, like your example before. They might live in the total opposite end of the country or a different country, but there's still phones and emails and this, that, and the other.
I wonder what techno thought. You're not technologically savvy. No. I wonder what you're going to come out.
No, I'm not. But people can facilitate that process. So, for example, we've had family members at our company before sending in long emails from America or Australia and asking them to pass them on to mum or dad. They could read a letter. You know, things like that. There's ways and means. It's just, like I say, it's that holistic approach. It's considerations and trying to encourage those connections between people, because it makes a very big difference.
It does.
And I think anybody listening to this who has lived through the pandemic could definitely agree that those relationships, if they are absent or forced to be absent, is just horrendous. And maybe that will give more people a sort of glance in, should we say, to how the majority of our clients and most of the elderly or vulnerable population of the country feels the majority of the time. Because that isolation, that aloneness is just can very easily be their standard, their norm, and that's just, it's awful.
Well, it's difficult, isn't it? I mean, you know, it's difficult to imagine as well, but we, you know, we think about a mutual friend of ours, he's lost his partner. He still goes out. He's still got family he sees. He's still got people he's in contact with, either by mail or whatever. But he obviously what he does struggle with is to just keep going, living alone. So even when there are, someone is actually having a fair amount of interaction.
Still hard.
Still difficult.
Yeah, well... you know, he lived with somebody for 52 years and then all of a sudden, suddenly found himself on his own. You know, that no matter what else you've got in as an input into your life, that's going to feel hugely dramatic and impactful, and it's going to change everything. And you're unlikely to find a new pattern, which is, oh, actually, this is quite a nice life. There's going to be too much missing. But without the stimulation and the input he has, I genuinely don't think he'd be here. And I don't mean he'd be some sort of suicidal 90-year-old guy. I think it's more links into the broken heart syndrome. There would have been some other reason why he just wouldn't keep carrying on. He would have become... there's plenty of experiences under my belt which highlight the links.
Yes, come on, because there's a lot of fluffy medical evidence for this, or zero medical evidence for this.
Well, yes.
Physiological, scientific, based, anecdotally.
I suppose. Although you could link it to psychology, which technically is medical science, isn't it? And it's all about how the brain shuts off and controls processes and one thing or another. So when you're saying there's no medical evidence and this is all fluff, that's not entirely true.
Well, no one has said, oh, I think this man's got a broken heart, and then they put like a neural scanner or something on them
you
to watch him shutting bits down.
You can't see it. It's an emotional reaction. Mm. It's an emotional reaction. It's a fact.
Yeah, no, I believe, I'm open to these things.
My professional experiences, you could never persuade me otherwise.
I'm not going to attempt it.
In all settings I've worked in, there's been, sadly, at least a handful of experiences in each one.
Well, and I think most people know, I say, let's just kind of use the metric of a handful. Everyone knows I think most people know a handful of people who have kind of, one half of the couple has died, and then very shortly after, the other half of the couple have died. Now, they're obviously probably both elderly and not in the best of health, but also at the same time, with the partner, it could be that there's absolutely nothing wrong with them.
Until that point. Yeah, and then it's just I'm not doing this. This is, my other half is gone. My whatever has gone, and therefore I don't want to be here. You know, it's a part selective process, and well, you know my opinion. I believe in it 100%, and that's terrifying, really, when you think about it. But to me, that's a fact. And love is so strong. That emotion, all emotions are strong, but love is just beyond strong. If you think about all the things it does to people, or has done to people in history, good and bad, and the indifferent, it's a huge controlling driving factor that we all experience, and we link ourselves to, and to another person. You know, it basically is the main focus point of everybody's life, really, whether it's present or absent. Really, that is the main part of most people's lives, and that's love.
So what would somebody do, let's just say, and not generally, because, you know, obviously if it's a young couple who has a tragedy, that's different, but let's just say you have an elderly relative and their partner passes away, what would be a good course of action, would you say?
Stimulation, interaction, and frankness, you know. There's no point pretending it could be worse or it might get better. It's sort of facing up to, well, the situation has now dramatically changed. Let's try and embrace that change and make it as a positive experience as we can. You know, everybody, lots of my experienced people, oh, you'll feel, you know, time heals this, time will, yeah, and it does. That sort of severity of the direct experience becomes less, but the loss doesn't become less. That loss has still happened, and then therefore is still absent. So it's about, well, we can't pretend that A hasn't happened, or B is, it's going to feel like it's happened less than it feels now. It's more, well, this is horrendous, and what would you prefer we did now? What's your worst thing about being without Mary, for example? And then sometimes that direct conversation gets you lots of places. Like our mutual friend, his is simply the conversation.
Mm.
You know, he really struggles to not even be able to just say anything to somebody else, or having to purposefully go out to find somebody to say something, anything. Because to him, the conversation is important to him and to how he feels. So it could be something as simple as that. Well, okay. I'll make sure that I give you a ring on a Tuesday. Who can you ring on a Friday? You know, it's trying to just support that person to put in sensible prompts and sort of autopilots to try and control it as best they can.
Which is where pets are quite good, because we all talk to our pets. Like,
pets are great.
Absolute loonies.
Yeah, pets are fantastic, and they make a big difference. I mean, there's therapy pets they put into different units medically. Definitely care homes. Lots of care homes have pets. Obviously, people living on community are encouraged and supported to keep their pets, or should be, bearing in mind there's not some dramatic health risk, obviously. But
not like they're allergic to dogs.
Yeah. but it can just be priceless, that companionship. Or it also, automatically, that person no longer feels like they're alone.
Yeah.
As a connection.
Responsibility. Routine.
Responsibility, routine. It's a purpose. You know, I have to walk the dog. Or I have to get someone to walk the dog, or I must make sure I put the fresh water out for the dog, whatever it might be. Does all those things, which is similar to a relationship. Oh, I must make sure Mary's got her car keys. I must make sure this or this. It's the same thing. And having that relationship, whatever form it takes, is really, really vital. It could be friendship with a neighbour. It could be a chat with the postman that comes on the Saturday. It doesn't matter what it is, whatever it is, whatever we can find is important to anybody, should definitely be identified and then promoted.
Mm.
Definitely.
So if you've got a friend or a relative, just kind of touch base with them, check they're okay, talk to them, depending on how close you are, I suppose.
And empathise. Like, there's one thing that COVID seems to have done to the entire damn universe is empathy has just left our emotional compass somehow. It's like, well, if that was you, how would you be feeling? And what would you like someone to do for you? Is actually think, I know we're all, oh, well, I empower your yes by saying no and all that shite era of, you know, basically being selfish and self-care isn't selfish, do all the self-care, etc., etc. Yes, that's fantastic and it genuinely is, but it doesn't give you permission to then not do anything else for anybody else. There's a bit of a mixed up message, which I think has been received during COVID mainly. And the two things need to be happening consecutively. Take care of ourselves, but also make sure we're considering other people. Simple things like you might have an elderly neighbour. Would it be helpful if you took their wheelie bin down to the driveway on the Thursday night? Whatever it is. You know, it's these tiny gestures which then remind the elderly neighbour that, oh, well, that's a connection. That's a link. That's something that's caretaking. It's consideration. It's something. And it has to be as simple as that, and it makes a big difference to people. You know, the amount of times we do an assessment and you ask who, you know, who do you want us to be involved with, and somebody might reel off 15 people who they communicate with and it's important to them, but they don't. There's no point you telling any of them because they don't really have anything to do with me, but I'm just telling you they're the people that help me. And the bins will be a good example. Somebody from the shop might deliver the papers or whatever it might be. The point being is people value things differently to how you might value things. It's all like important.
Kind of the love thy neighbour Christian love, isn't it really? It's the kind of caring for each other.
It's the basics. It's back to basics. It's like what your grandma would tell you to do. You know, it's the traditional values, and it's not, absolutely not, to allow them to escape your existence just because. Whatever, you're modern, you're important, you're busy. We all are. And these elderly people also have been, but I can almost guarantee you the vast majority of them would have considered somebody else. You know, that's very obvious. It's a generational thing, but it's so apparent when you know about people's lives. And I just don't think in our generation's time, if somebody's going to be assessing them, there's going to be half as much love in those assessments or history of love, consideration.
That's culturally as well. I mean, there's a lady who, when she had a baby back in her own country, you know, it's kind of the whole, it takes a village to raise a child.
Mm.
You know, and they bring over towels and food and check it. And people kind of, if that happened over here, but go away, leave me alone.
Why have they come round with that? What are they nosing in for, et cetera, et cetera? But it's a very closed little thing that most people have going on, and that's really dangerous, because where does a closed sort of relationship take you? It takes you nowhere. You know, in 20, 30, 40, 50 years time, when somebody else needs that, they've been closed for 50 years.
You see, the pessimist in me feels like they would be coming around just to be nosy.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people would. But within those people that aren't, they also might be there to offer help. And you can control how much information you give to somebody.
I think the point is that there is like the people...
You can control nosy
again,
people, is my point.
Culturally, the people are a bit nosy.
Yeah.
So we don't have that supportive structure, because oftentimes people might pop around just because, I don't know.
No, I'm not trying to suggest either from this podcast, somebody listens to it and goes out and then signs up to helping six neighbours every single weekend and you don't have a life to yourself. I just mean it's a very simple consideration, and if we don't sort of give those out at this point, then we certainly are not ever going to get them back ourselves, because we're not going to be the person that receives them or even gets offered them if we're not the ones offering them out anyway. You're not going to build any relationships.
Kindness begets kindness.
Well, it does. And again, it links into love. You can't be kind without being loving. Kindness comes from love. Most things do. And hence why it's one of the... probably the most important emotion, and one that sort of is often not really considered in a social care assessment or process, whatever you want to say, and it should, because it's really the sort of the heart, without being ironic, of everything, the centre of everything. Yeah. It controls a lot of other things that go on. And it's important. It's really, really, really important.
So it would be nice if this Valentine's Day, whoever might be listening, wherever you are, whoever you are, check in on a friend. Check in on a relative. Take them a loaf of bread.
Doesn't take much, does it?
No. All jokes aside, it would be, you know, check in with your uncle, your grandfather, whoever it might be, your dad, your mum.
One day you won't be able to.
Yeah.
That song sprung to mind. You got a chance, take it.
Take it while you got a chance. If you got a dream, chase it.
Because a dream won't chase you back. You're gonna love somebody. Hold them and long. And it's strong. And as close as you can. Anyway, it's a very good country song. But the point is there also comes a point where you can't, and then regret sets in, and you regret things because it's linked to love, and then your life isn't quite as wonderful and wholesome as it could be, you know, because you should have just done one simple thing. And it's just a sprinkle of empathy, that's all. Supports love. And love really is everything.
So do it now.
No.
You selfish bastard.
No, that's not what I'm saying. I mean, it can be, sadly, it's been made to feel like it's all right to overlook it. It isn't really. Not when it comes to humanity.
And I think care, often, not often, to be fair, it depends, but I think carers can forget that as well. So sometimes, they say, oh, I've got 20 minutes. Oh, she doesn't, you know, they don't want me there. So, yeah. When was the last time you asked? When was the last time you checked?
Hmm.
They want you there every time, or was it just that one time, or that when they were having that bad week?
Yeah.
You know, maybe they would like you to kind of just have a cup of tea with them, or make them another cup of tea, or just tidy up a little bit more, or take a bit more care, have a look around.
Just be there.
Yeah. They might just want somebody to be there. You've got that time. Are you going to be the only person they see that day, or that only person sees until dinner time, or the next day, or the next week?
It links into the same thing. It's just consideration. But I'm going to say defensively, I don't think it's carers that are at fault of this. I think it's the general bloody public.
Probably.
It's relatives of the clients that we look after. It's friends, it's neighbours, it's other professionals, it's everybody.
Well, everybody could do a little bit more, certainly.
I'll just do one tiny thing for somebody else, rather than just thinking inwardly.
Please.
No, but genuinely, it's going to make a problem for other generations. Then these people themselves that aren't giving this out will not receive it back.
Hmm. This is the issue, isn't it?
And then it cripples the social sector further and longer and in different ways in vicious circle.
This is a semi-depressing Valentine's Day podcast.
Yeah. It is.
By the time you're old, no one's going to care about you.
Well, they're not if you're selfish. They're not. And why should they? Because you haven't. Treat people as you expect to be treated yourself. You know what I mean?
I do know what you mean. Should we wrap up episode 5? I think that's covered all bases.
Yeah, although it does sound fairly negative, but it's not supposed to be. It's just that love makes a big difference. And just consider
well done
that.
The few of you out there who bother.
Yeah. Please love somebody. Please be kind to somebody. Please.
As always, email us your thoughts, email us your questions. The details are in the description below. But other than that, we'll see you at episode 6.